Welcome to the Celebration Church podcast. We hope you enjoy this message and learn more about God, life, and you. If you're interested in knowing more about Celebration Church, you can visit our website at celebrationemmonton.com and follow us on Instagram at celebrationedm. Enjoy this message.
We started a series the last couple of weeks dealing with our thought life and going to continue here today with the same theme. You know, there's a movie, it's quite old, called Five Easy Pieces. Jack Nicholson is in it, and there's this moment in the movie that is a great illustration for us about what we're going to talk about today, which is mindsets. He's sitting there, he's ordering his food, he decides he wants an omelet, he wants a couple of changes to how they do the omelet, what they put on the side, and then he'd like to have some whole wheat toast on the side, and the waitress responds and says, you know what, we don't make any changes, what you see is what you get, and we don't do those side orders. And he's like, you're kidding. You do have a toaster, right? Like you make sandwiches, you should. So then, and he's getting nowhere with this waiter. So finally he says, okay, I'll tell you what, I'll have your omelet and I'll have a chicken salad sandwich. But I want you to hold the salad, hold the mayo, hold the butter. In fact, you can hold the chicken too. And I'll go ahead and pay for that. Well, the thing is, he was dealing with a mindset. This waitress had a mindset. She was what I call a rules person. You know what I'm saying? Some of you might be married to one of those. And if you're not, maybe you are the rules person in your relationship. You're like, but this is the rules. And you have a spouse that's like, who cares? This is what we want to do. Let's just do it, you know? And so we all have mindsets. That was her mindset. And what is a mindset, really? It's our thinking habit. It's our direction of thought. It's how we process life and what goes on around it. It's where we go with our thinking most of the time. It's the patterns that we live in. You know, for some people, their mindset is, how can we? And for others, it's like, no, we can't do that. We can't do that. They immediately go to the negative. Some people are risk takers. That's their mindset is to step out and do something new. Other people are cautious, very much like, let's just stay in the safe zone. Then you got people that their mindset is to question everything. They're very investigative. They want it proven. And others are just accept everything. And they're just really, you know, cool about things and it'll all work out. Don't worry about it. That's the kind of mindset they have. All of us, have a mindset that is just part of our personality. It's just the way it is. This is who you are as a person. This is who I am as a person. So this is how I think in life. It's just part of my personality. But then there's another side to our mindset that we're going to talk about today that isn't part of our personality. Right. It is something that we've embraced that, is a part of us, but it's limiting us. It's hindering us. It's causing unnecessary conflict. It keeps us in a destructive pattern, that we may have in life. It can ruin relationships. It can make us miserable and just, you know, keep us in a rut, so to speak, in life. And it's not something that's part of our personality. It's something that actually should be changed. And so the scriptures do not assume that because you've received Jesus into your life that your thinking is just fine. They do not take a position that says, man, once you receive Jesus, it's all good. It's all done. Yes, spiritually we are. We're in a right relationship with God. We've been forgiven, all those things. But when it comes to our thinking, the scriptures are quite the opposite. Rather than assuming that your thinking is going to be on track and it's going to be godly, it talks much about how to bring your thinking up to speed with where your heart is. In fact, your heart can be at the right place while your thinking is very much off track. You know that, don't you? I mean, we've all made decisions where it's like, well, my heart was in the right place. I just made a dumb choice. Yep. Or we have people around us and they're like, you're confronting them and say, why did you do that? And then they tell you why. Their heart was in the right place, but their thinking was definitely not in the right place. And so that's where the scripture speaks to us, changing our thinking, catching up, getting our thoughts on track with how God wants us to think and process life. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 17 says this, so I tell you this and insist on it in the Lord, that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do. That is, people without God. Don't live like that. In the futility of their thinking. They are darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. Having lost all sensitivity, they have given themselves over to sensuality so as to indulge in every kind of impurity, and they are full of greed. That, however, is not the way of life you learned when you heard about Christ and were taught in him in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus. You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off the old self, which is being corrupted by deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. The Bible says, listen, you're to put off old ways, you're to put on new ways, and that happens when you change the attitude of your mind. Change the attitude of your mind. He's talking about the disposition that you have in regards to your thinking. When he talks about the attitude of your mind, that's what he's dealing with. A number of years ago, I was in a conversation with a ministry leader and another person that were in that ministry, and the ministry leader was asking us questions about solving some problems, and in that conversation, I would give an idea, and then after I would give the idea, the person beside me would give the negative as to why it wouldn't work. And then I'd just throw out another idea, and they do the same thing. It was like clockwork, man. It was like so predictable. And eventually the person we're in a conversation with stops the conversation, looks at this guy and says, how come at every positive you have a negative? Wow. Well, the truth of the matter is this person had a mindset. It was called defeated. And in their defeated mindset, all they could see was defeat. Every time something was, you know, brought out, some idea, it's like, no, can't think that way. That's not going to work. My mindset will not allow me to embrace that as even a possibility. My mindset just won't take me to that place. And so this is what happens when our thoughts are allowed to go to that place. When we get into defeated thinking, we're just like, I give up. I may not even care anymore or let it matter to me, but nothing seems to work. And so your thoughts can be so focused and negative, and that negativity can be so dominating that your mindset is just inhibiting you. The attitude of your mind is inhibiting you from creative thinking, from problem solving, from having hope for your future, or being action oriented. You're not going to take any action. Why? Because all you see is failure. Well, you got to know that the problem wasn't the circumstance. The problem was the person's mindset. Yeah. But their mindset was totally caging them in from the future that they could have. It was boxing them in. You know, throughout the New Testament, the Bible talks about several different mindsets to avoid in life. And I'm just going to touch on them briefly, but then we're going to talk about how to change our mindset. But one of the ones it talks about is what's called the fleshly mindset, or in some translation, it uses the word carnal mindset. So what is that? That is a mindset that does not include a relationship with God, doesn't include the Holy Spirit, doesn't include eternity. It's just fleshly. It's just natural. That's all it does. It only sees things on the horizontal. So it's all about our horizontal relationship with other people, but nothing about our relationship with God. It's all about the things that we can feel and sense with the five senses, but nothing about the experience of the Holy Spirit being in our life. It's all about the here and now and nothing about eternity. And so what happens with a fleshly mindset is it's all focused on what I want, what I think, what I feel, and those are the kind of thoughts that rule it. It has no awareness of God or no response to God working in its thinking. That's a fleshly mindset. Another one is called a worldly mindset. That is a mindset that is shaped by the culture. The culture has a way of thinking. Culture has a way of doing life. Our culture has a message when it comes to what it thinks is right and wrong, what it thinks is moral and immoral, all the rest of it. That's the worldly mindset. And so it's built around culture. And the impact of that is that even though you know Jesus, you could still be thinking very much like the rest of the culture. And guess what? though you know Jesus, and if you died today, you would go to heaven, your life may still very much be reflecting a life that does not know Jesus, because your thinking is still shaped by the culture. And so you still do things the way the culture does. You still handle conflict the same way culture does. You still handle your money the same way culture does. That's why you got as much debt as anybody who doesn't know Jesus. You still handle relationships, and your character is very much like the culture. There's destructive habits. They're not changing. Why? Well, I know Jesus. They should change. Yeah, but you've never changed your thinking. And your thinking is what's keeping your life stuck in the same issues that the culture around you has. And when we live like that, what happens is people outside of the church world look at Christians and go, they are hypocrites because they claim to know Jesus, but their life is no different than anybody else I know. The truth of the matter is we have to change our minds. We have to get our minds renewed so that God can work in our life. Let me clarify this. People who live, whether they're of any faith background, it doesn't matter. We all have the same struggles and issues. We all have the same family issues, relationship issues, personal issues. It's all the same. However, if we're following Jesus and allowing him to change our thinking, how we handle those issues and the outcome of that in our lives should look very different. In other words, your faith should be making a difference in the here and now, not just in the sweet by and by. Here's another mindset that happens that impacts a lot, and I think people in business would see this a lot and possibly even misjudge it, and that is the immature mindset. The immature mindset. Those are people that have an adult body, but they still think like a child. Yeah. Don't point. Not a good time to point. But there are people that are like that, and it's like their thinking is still very much centered around themselves, and then how they relate to responsibility can be very poor, and how they relate to people can be poor too. Because why? Because of immaturity. Here's how we misjudge it. We watch their actions, and we judge their motives. And we go, oh, that's a lazy person. Oh, that's just a selfish person. Oh, that's a person who doesn't care. No, it's not. They're just immature. Right. They're just immature. They might care. They might have a heart for what they're doing, all the rest of it. But their immaturity causes them to make choices that make them look like their heart's not in the right place. Here's the last one. The mindset of fear. The mindset of fear. You know, the Apostle Paul had to address Timothy with that. God hasn't given you a spirit of fear, one of love, power, and a what? Sound mind, the Bible says. Jesus talked about it when he talked about people who worry and who are anxious all the time. And he said, man, you're just acting like you don't have a relationship with God when you do that. God takes care of birds. He'll take care of you. And don't live your life full of worry and anxiety, which is a manifestation of fear. So I want to talk about changing our mindsets. And three different things will help you with that. First one is this: recognize the source of your current mindset. How many of you know a lot of times solving problems in our life starts and is very much empowered simply by uncovering the why? Why is this here in the first place? Many times that's enough to empower you to have freedom in your life. That's why Jesus said, you will know the truth, and guess what the truth will do? Set you free. It'll make you angry first, but then it'll set you free. Okay, you'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free. A lot of times it's just understanding the truth about why is it going on in my life that we can solve this. So rather than assuming that your thinking is just fine because you've had it for so long, consider the source. Abraham had a mindset of fear. And it came out in his life when he was at a place with his wife and he decides, you know, my wife is beautiful. I don't want them to attack me in order, you know, to have her. So now all of a sudden, you know, she's no longer married because they took me out. So what I'll do is I'll just tell everybody, this is my sister. And I'll create a lie out of my fear. So that's what he does. He lies and does this. And then, of course, God makes it evident to King Abimelech that that's what's going on. And Abimelech confronts Abraham. And he says, well, I was just afraid, you know, so that's why I said what I said. Well, some years later, Isaac, Abraham's son, has the same fear mindset, And in Genesis 26, we read about how he lied about his wife, saying that she was his sister so that the men of Gerar wouldn't attack and kill him. And once again, King Abimelech is the one who ends up confronting Isaac about what he did. Well, then he has a son by the name of Jacob, and who also deals with a fear mindset. And he's leaving Laban. He's been working for this guy, Laban, and he's married his daughters, and now he wants to leave. And he's afraid that when he goes, Laban is going to try to keep the daughters with him, keep his wives with him. So he sends them on ahead, and it gets exposed. And he says, well, I was afraid you wouldn't let us go. And I already told you I wanted to leave now and go do my thing. I don't want to work for you any longer. But here's the point. You're watching the same mindset go from generation to generation to generation. The fear mindset that's always hiding, always holding back, being stingy because we're afraid of lack, not taking risks, tormented by thoughts of what could happen, all the rest of it. And here it's going from generation to generation to generation. And maybe you can look at your life, and maybe you can look back the generations and see an issue that was happening in your grandparents and in your parents, and now it's on the doorstep of your world. You know, there's people that they can look and say, yeah, my grandfather was an alcoholic and my father was an alcoholic and you know what? I'm just on the verge of being there. How do I stop that? You need to change your mind. You need to change your thinking. You need to let go of the thinking that says, man, when life is stressed out, you need to numb your emotions with a little, you know, not Bud Light anyway, but anyway, something stronger. But here's the point is it's a mindset that got them into that. This is the way I solve my problems is I run from the pain. And here's how I do it, through alcohol. And you can just see it track through the generations. Listen, there's generations of people stuck in the welfare system. Not blessed by it, stuck in it. Come on. Why? Grandma was on welfare. My mom's on welfare. Now I'm on welfare. Why? Because your thinking has never taken you to a place where you develop yourself, get a career, break out of poverty, and have a life. And your thinking is keeping you stuck, like this is just how we do life. There are so many issues in life that can go from generation to generation, and we just watch the pattern ahead of us and we just emulate the same pattern because we never stopped and thought differently about how to handle life. And that can come down to even things like relationships between mom and dad. Well, I watched my grandparents fight, my parents fought, so I'll just fight in my marriage too. Why? Because you haven't changed your thinking. Because you think that's normal. And it's when we change our thinking, we break out of those generational issues that can be in our life. Here's another source, the culture around you. We touched on that a little bit. But, you know, when Samuel came to Jesse to anoint the next king, Jesse starts by bringing out his oldest son, then the next oldest son, the next, all the rest of it. And finally, they get to David, and God's like, that's the one. God had to change Samuel's understanding because culturally, it would have been about the firstborn, culturally. And God's saying, listen, this is not about a birth order. This is about where their heart's at. David's heart's in the right place. He might be the youngest in the family, but he's the one that I've chosen. And he had to break out of that cultural pattern of what was going on in his thinking. You know, when we take the thoughts that we have about everything from money to morality to responsibility to parenting and marriage, conflict, all the rest of it, and compare it to what the culture around us teaches and shows, and what we find in scriptures, you might be surprised at what could be exposed in your life as being more shaped by culture than the Word of God. And that's why Romans chapter 12 and verse 2 says this: don't copy the behavior and customs of this world. Let God transform you into a new person by changing the way that you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good, pleasing, and perfect. He's saying, listen, it's so easy to let your mind just be led by the culture. You need to be intentional not to copy the habits and behaviors of the culture. If your actions represent the culture around you, it's because your thinking still needs to be changed. The other thing that can affect our mindset are the painful experiences that we can have in life. You go through a loss, you go through a failure, you go through a conflict of some sort. It's often through those painful experiences that we set up roadblocks to not re-experience those experiences. It's in those painful experiences that we make declarations over ourselves. We create vows. We say things like, I will never, or I'm a failure, or I'm not supposed to do. All of those things. Maybe you've had a dream in your heart and you're thinking, well, it's just a dream, it's not a reality. If you have a desire in your heart of something where you're like, I've always wanted to do this, a godly thing, but find yourself thinking, why should I even bother to try? Your mindset might actually be stopping you because of something that's happened in your past. And if you just deal with that mindset, if you just deal with why do I think this way about myself and deal with it, it could unlock a whole new future for your world. Painful events, negativity of others, living in a critical environment, and now you don't think with much confidence about yourself. Maybe you grew up in an unapproving environment, and so your mindset is so shaped by a deep need for approval, which came out evil. Okay. I know I'm in a hurry, but it ain't that bad. Number two, make the intentional choice to renew your mind. Renewing the mind is not just something that's like, well, I read that scripture in Romans 12, 2 and 3. I guess I got it. No, that scripture is a commission for you to do something, but now you actually got to do it, and you got to be intentional about it. A number of months ago, God was dealing with me about this subject. And when he brought the image of Nehemiah and the story of him in Jerusalem to me, and I'll explain that in a moment. But here's the story, just to bring you up to speed. Jerusalem was a city that had been attacked and burned with fire, and the walls are torn down. Walls, of course, protected cities back then. So they've been burned, they've been torn down, all of this had gone. So it was vulnerable to the enemy, just could wander in and just have a heyday. Nehemiah had a burden to restore the walls, knowing that in doing so, that he would restore protection to the city and the purposes of God as well. And its purpose was to be a place of worship and honor to the Lord. After the walls were restored, that's exactly what happened. Worship got restored. The reading of scripture, got restored as well. And so, as the Holy Spirit was dealing with me about this, he gave me that picture of Jerusalem with the walls all down and said, that's what your mind sometimes is like. You have a mind without walls. You have a mind that's like a city without walls. Too often, people can have a mind without walls. That is, there's no boundaries. There's no filter. So what does that look like? You know, you wake up in the morning and you just happen to be in a bad mood. I don't know why. Maybe the coffee wasn't ready on time. Who knows? But you're in that bad mood, and then you just go on about your day with that bad mood. It goes with you. It just stays there in your thinking. And it's like, blessed be the person who has to deal with you today. You know what I'm saying? It's like, oh, my goodness. Why? Because I'm in a bad mood. And that's just the way it is. It's bad mood day. I didn't know, but I woke up, and it's Thursday, and it's minus 30, and it's bad news day. It's for you because I'm in a bad mood, and my mind is just staying there all day long. You can get frustrated with somebody, and you start thinking about it, and you have an argument going on in your mind with that person. You have angry thoughts. You have a woulda, coulda, shoulda going on, and you carry that throughout your whole day. You're just constantly thinking about it and think, oh, I should have said this. So that when I get a hold of them again. And you can just go and you can have this angry conversation playing in the background of your mind all day long. You can get some concerning news about something. And then all of a sudden you start to worry and you start to get anxious and you start to get fearful. And then your mind starts to take the scenario and play out the possible ends of where it's going to go. What's the end of this movie going to look like? What's the end of this event going to look like that happened in my life? And what if they do this and they do that? And what if this doesn't happen? What if? And your mind is just having a heyday playing out all of the possibilities of how this thing could play out and how this thing could shape in the end. And it's just keeps going rampant with worry and anxiety and fear. You can have a thought of temptation, and rather than dealing with it, you ponder it when you should have moved on. And you think, well, I'd never actually do that, but I'll just kind of enjoy the thought of what if, and I'll just kind of, listen, anybody who's done anything stupid, it started up here. There was a lot of stupid going on in their thinking before stupid played out in their actions. But here's the question. Why do those thoughts get to stay for so long? It's because you have a mind without walls. It's just open in a wrong way. So what are we to do? We're to be intentional about what you allow into your thinking. You're to put up some walls. You're to put up some walls. Philippians 4:8 describes that, where it says, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Let me read it backwards. Things such about think, no, that's not what I meant. Let me read it backwards this way. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is not true, whatever is not noble, whatever is not right, whatever is not pure, whatever is not lovely, whatever is not admirable, if there's anything that's messed up that you shouldn't be thinking about, don't think about such things. Don't let your mind be like a city without walls. Nehemiah built walls and he put gates in place. The walls protected the city. The gates decided what gets in and what stays out and what needs to get let out as well. And that's how we're to be when it comes to renewing our mind. We're to set up the walls in our thinking that say, listen, I'm going to qualify what I think about. And if it doesn't qualify, it's disqualified, and we're not going to meditate on it all day long. We're not going to let it, you know, take up that space. Number three, replace old thinking with God's word. Colossians 3:2 says, set your mind. Set your mind. How do you get a mindset? You set your mind on things above, not on things of the earth. Now, here's what he's not saying. He's not saying, just go around all day thinking about heaven. Oh, streets are paved with gold. Jesus has gone to build a house for me. Wonder what it'll look like, you know. You go around thinking like that, you will have your mindset on earth because you'll be looking for a new job. So that's not what he's talking about. What he's saying is don't have a mindset that is just worldly or fleshly like we talked about. Instead, have a mindset that includes your relationship with God, that includes how God would want you to think in life, that includes a perspective that includes eternity. In other words, in light of eternity, how much does this really matter? And in light of eternity, what am I supposed to do that makes a difference there? And how do we do that? We fill our minds with the word of God, the promises, the words of Jesus, the wisdom of God's word. His word are his thoughts. Psalms 94:19 says, when my anxious thoughts multiply, David said, within me, your consolations delight my soul. Delight my soul. Psalms 119:50 says, this is my comfort in my affliction, that your word has revived me. When your life is full of anxiety, rather than letting words of fear and fearful thoughts and all the rest, focus your attention on the promises of God and start speaking those promises over that thing you could be anxious about. Now, let me just say this. This is not positive thinking. That's not what we're talking about here. What we're talking about is positional thinking. That is making a choice to position our thinking according to how God wants us to think about life and about the circumstances of life. It's positioning your thinking in alignment with how God thinks about life. Positional thinking, you see, positional thinking is about thinking in a place where you actually have faith towards God, taking your thinking to a place where faith towards God is a part of your thoughts. So you don't just think about, oh, I've got this problem. You think about, I've got God walking with me. I can pray and he's going to put his hand on that problem and he's going to turn that situation around. He's part of my thinking. He's part of my thoughts. He's part of the strategy of how I'm doing life. I'm walking with God. Why? I've got my thoughts not just on earth, but on heaven as well, and I'm doing life with Jesus, and so I position my thinking to have faith towards God. I want to position my thinking in wisdom rather than having it positioned in, well, just whatever you feel like doing. No, I want God's wisdom working in my life. I want to position my thinking with grace and forgiveness towards others. Because I can promise you, you're going to get offended. You're going to get hurt. You're going to get upset. Why? Because there's people in your world. And that's what people do. But you can make a decision to have a God response of forgiveness and grace and mercy towards them. I want to position my thinking with an unwavering commitment to my spouse and family. I want to position my thinking with love towards people that believes the best of others. James 1:21 says, therefore, putting aside all filthiness and all that remains of wickedness and humility, receive the word implanted, which is able to save your souls. Listen, I know it means, you know, part of the connotation is salvation. I get to go to heaven. I'm made right with God. But there's another side of salvation called saving your soul, where it's about your mind, your will, your emotions that can be messed up and they need some salvation. Like right now, they need to be saved from being messed up by the culture, saved from being messed up by just living in your feelings and all the rest of it. James is saying, listen, God's word is able to save your soul. Yeah. Ephesians 5 tells us that God is cleansing us by the washing of the water of the word. Hebrews tells us that the word of God is able to judge the thoughts and the intentions of the heart. In other words, God's word empowers you to change your thinking. You see, you can be down and discouraged, and you can keep that mindset all day, or you can position your thinking and choose to be thankful in all things, because that's what the word of God tells you to do. You can be upset and angry at some situation, or you can position your thinking and you can choose to forgive in the same way that you've been forgiven. You see, you can let problems in your life overwhelm you and feel exasperated, or you can position your thinking by confessing the word that says that basically, you know, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. The joy of the Lord is my strength. In other words, I have the capacity to handle this. I'm not going to get stressed out. I am not going to get overwhelmed. You can focus in life on what you don't have, what's not working in your life that discourages you, or you can position your thinking that says, no good thing will he withhold from those who walk uprightly. I believe God's going to turn my life around. He's not finished with me yet. You can position your thinking, you can have thinking that's full of self-pity and discouragement because of health issues that you're dealing with, or you can position your thinking with Jesus and say, by his stripes, I was healed. I'm just going to choose to believe for the healing to come into my body. I'm going to choose to think godly about that. You can be fearful and you can withhold when it comes to giving, or you can position your thinking that understands, listen, money in the Bible is seed, and God says when you sow your seed, he multiplies it back to you. I'm going to have godly thinking that empowers my generosity. When you set your mind, you set your future. It's the authority, though, that is behind the word of God that makes it so powerful in your life. It's like, why does the Bible, like, speak into your life, change your thinking, and empower your life in such a powerful way? Well, it has to do with the author. You see, it's the same Jesus who told you that you could be forgiven who empowers you to change your mind about forgiving others. It's the same Jesus who told you that you could move mountains with faith and prayer. It's the same Jesus who told you that you could have a life that's more abundant. It's the same Jesus who told us that he would set captives free. It's that same Jesus who forgives us and changes our heart, who also changes our thinking through the word of God. I want us to stand as we take a moment to pray and close today's service, but this is not a message where you're like, okay, I got it. That was a good message. Not really. What it was, it was the start of something good in your life. Hopefully it motivates you to go to the Word of God with a mission in mind where it's like, God, I want to think the way you think about life. God, I want to think about my life the way you think about my life. I want to think about my future the way you think about my future. I want to renew my mind about how I handle the stresses, the problems, the people, all the rest of it in my life. I don't want to just have a life that is shaped by the culture, shaped by the past, shaped by generations of mistakes. Instead, I want it shaped by the Word of God so that my life can make a difference and be different in Jesus' name. You know, sometimes when it comes to salvation, people have mindsets that hold them back. Some people think, well, I need to clean my life up and get my act together if I'm going to make this Jesus thing work. I just want to say to you, please don't.
Yeah.
Like, please don't. There's a reason he's called the Savior. It's because it's his job to clean up your life, change you, and work with you. He's looking for you just simply to surrender your life as is. That's really what it's all about. Salvation starts with a surrender, not with you fixing it all up and making it good. Some people are like, well, I'm not sure I could do it. Yeah, you can't. I promise you, you can't. But the Holy Spirit empowers change in your life. And what you can do is surrender and then trust God. Say, okay, God, you got this. I just want you to know I'm not quitting. And as long as you stay in that position, God's got an amazing future for you. But maybe you've not yet taken that step of surrender to allow Christ to come into your life as Lord and Savior. This is your opportunity to respond to God right now. I believe the Holy Spirit is dealing with people right now. And in your heart, you know, that's what I need to do. That's what I need to do. Well, I'm here to pray with you right where you're standing. I'm here to help you have the best day of your life, so that the rest of your life can be the best of your life. Let's bow our heads. Let's bow our heads for that moment of prayer. I just want to ask, and I'm going to count to three in just a moment, and then you can shoot your hand up and let me know. I just want to ask, who here would say, Pastor, you know what? I'm in on this prayer. I need to receive Christ. I'm ready to surrender and follow him. On the count of three, would you just shoot your hand up? One, two, three. Just give me a wave. That's awesome. That's awesome. You guys can put your hands down. Let's pray with those who are praying here right now. Lord Jesus, I surrender. I accept you as Lord and Savior of my life. Thank you for forgiving my past and giving me a future as I follow you with all of my heart. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this week's message. If you enjoyed it, check out more messages like this at celebrationedmonton.com or on the Celebration Church mobile app. If you would like to partner with us financially, you can give on our website at celebrationedmonton.com. Come back next week to hear another great message.